Let's open our Bibles together, please. This morning we continue to read God's Word together. And we commence to read at the verse 22 of the 8th chapter of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8 and the verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you, the Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey, for there were golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, We will willingly give them. And they spread a garment, and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars, and blue purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Zerubbabel the son of Joash went and dwelt in his own house, and Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. His concubine was in Shechem. She also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Ebezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam, and made Baal Berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thy Son, our Savior, we bow humbly and reverently before thee, seeking thy face. And we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt minister to the needs of the hearts of the people that are gathered here. We pray that our God, those who are listening in across the world, that thou wilt, our God, just bless thy word to their hearts too. We thank thee that we believe thy word. We thank thee that we stand without apology and unashamedly for the book of God, the blessed, infallible word of the living God. But, O God, today we ask of thee that for those who say that they believe this with all their hearts, help them, our God, to know what it is, to put it into practice. Help us, our God, to be obedient unto thy word and unto thy voice. And so, Lord, lead us as we worship thee this morning, gathered around thy precious book. We pray that thou wilt minister to our needs. And, O God, just speak to our hearts, for we pray, believing in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to come to our last message on Gideon. In this 8th chapter of the book of Judges, I would say that one could say, written over this end of the story, is a great man falling at the last fence. Here we find Gideon, who was a great man of God. I want you to think of the war of the Midianites. That war is now over. Israel is free from the great oppression that once was upon them. Once they were experiencing, for 7 long years, they had experienced this great oppression of the Midianites. But thank God the battle's over. The Bible tells us that there was rest there in the land for some 40 years. In verse 28, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And so therefore, there's a battle over. But friend, I want us to notice something that I believe is a warning to each and every one of us. Because whilst the battle with the Midianites were over, the battle with the flesh was not. There was still a battle that was going to commence that indeed shows us Gideon falling at the last fence. You know, this perhaps is a forgotten story. This perhaps, maybe to some, is an unknown story. Because we're so taken up with the battle that Gideon fought in the name of God and had a tremendous victory, that somehow we're taken up with that moment. And yet we forget how the story ends. And I want us to look at it because the Holy Ghost has given it to us not to demean Gideon. But friend, the Holy Ghost gives it as it really is. The Holy Ghost gives us the record because there is a warning for every single person. Remember these words, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And the devil would love to make you shipwreck at the end of the journey of your experience with God and for God in this world. My, the old devil would love that somebody sitting in the service this morning, listening to my voice, would fall at the last fence. And indeed bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of glory and glorifying the Master himself. Let's look at the setting here. Notice the request here. Let's go to verse 22. It says, the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And so we find here that Gideon is a real hero. When we first met Gideon, he was anything but that. He was hiding there at the wine press. And you know, friends, he was just like everybody else. He was living in defeat and discouragement. But now we find that Gideon has become the hero of the hour. You remember what the Holy Ghost said, it recorded, God called him. He was a mighty man of valor. Chapter 6, verse 12, it recalls that whenever God sent his angel and spoke to Gideon, he said to him, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon knew he wasn't anything like that. But you know, the Spirit of God knew that that's what God could make him and would make him if he had yielded himself to the Lord. And so we find that he becomes a mighty man of valor. And so from zero to hero in the eyes of his fellow Israelites, in verse number 22, they say, rule thou over us. Now, I suppose it is true that Gideon was getting appropriate recognition because Gideon had led the people, friend. He had been courageous for God. And so whenever they said to him, rule over us, in the eyes of the people, friend, he was the leader. They were perhaps flattering him. They were bragging him. Because what I want you to notice in verse 22 is this, there's no mention of God. Whilst they were acknowledging that Gideon was the one that was used to lead them and give them a great victory, there is no mention, as far as the children of Israel were concerned, there is no mention of God that says, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of the Midian. Friend, Gideon simply was the leader, but he was under God. And so therefore the people got their eyes off God, and God wasn't in it, and they invited Gideon to rule over them. Now deep in Gideon's heart he knows that without God he was nothing. Gideon knows it wasn't his victory, it was God's victory. Gideon knows that he simply did what God told him to do. He was simply serving the Lord, and that God had directed him, and without God, he would have been nothing. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel 15? He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Friend, you know, there's always a temptation. After some great victory, there's always a temptation to think that we did it. And I want to tell you, friend, without the Lord, we're nothing.
And therefore we need to keep our eyes upon the Lord and keep humble before the Lord. And so when the people invite him to rule over them, Gideon knows that without God he was nothing. He was courageous. But I want you to notice, courageously, Gideon refuses. He says in verse number 23, Gideon said unto them, you say there's not much falling here. That's true. Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. You say, listen, there's a spiritual man after a great victory. He says, the Lord shall rule over you. Of course, the question we have to ask ourselves is, why did they want a king? Why did they want somebody to rule over them in the first place? If you were to read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you know exactly why they wanted them to rule over them. They wanted to be like the nations round about them. They just wanted to be like the rest of the nations, and therefore they desired no longer that God would be their king, but they wanted an earthly king. You know, friends, to be honest, there are many of God's children, and they want just to be like the world. They don't want the call of separation to separate unto the Lord and have that separation in every aspect of their lives and be separated not only from apostasy and from the religious apostasy of this world, but be separated unto the Lord in their lives to be like the Lord and to live for Him and for Him alone. And in reality, the truth was this. They were rejecting as a people God's authority over them. They wanted the pomp. They wanted the glory. They wanted the prestige of a king. Why did they want that? Because that appealed to the flesh. And you know, there are many today and they want the prestige and they want the pomp and they want the glory of what man has got to offer, friend. And that appeals to the flesh. But Gideon says no. Gideon says no. I will not, verse 23, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. I say this to you, the temptation to take this place of ruling was popular. It tells us the men of Israel said, thou hast delivered us from the hand of the Midian. It was a popular invitation. You know, if we mold ourselves after the popular decisions of the world, friend, and the opinions of the world, as a child of God, you'll go sadly wrong. Don't crave after the popularity of the world. I believe before God this was hard for Gideon to refuse. Because this request encompassed everything that the flesh would seek after in life. The prestige, the popularity, and indeed, the glory of man. It was a popular request. It was a plausible request. Because, you see, it sounded good on the surface because Gideon, they were acknowledging that Gideon was a leader. And Israel needed a ruler at that time because, remember where we found her? She was weak. Remember when we saw it, for seven years, she was under the domination of these Midianites. The Midianites would come in and they would take their food whenever they were ready to harvest it. And Israel was weak. And therefore she was vulnerable and she was disorganized. So what did she need? She needed a ruler. She needed someone to take the leadership. And you know what would a king do? A king would bind them together. They would follow the king and they would be strong under leadership. It was a plausible request. It was a plausible temptation. Let me tell you, quite a number of the temptations the devil puts in your way, friend, let me tell you, they're popular. And quite a number of the temptations the devil puts in the way of the child of God, they're plausible. And might I tell you, no, it's for the greater good. And now the devil comes with his subtle temptations. But Israel or Gideon did not decide the strategy of the victory of the battle that had passed. It was God. It was all of God. They needed to follow the Lord. They needed to serve the Lord. The Lord was their king. They didn't need an earthly king. They needed to follow the Lord. And so it is interesting, Gideon seems very adamant here when he says these words. You say there's no equivocation.
There's no doubt what he's saying in verse 26. He says, I will not rule over you. That sounds good, doesn't it? He says, I will not rule over you. He said, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Now that sounds firm and it sounds forceful. And you say, listen, there's nothing can be added to it. And there's no doubt about what Gideon had said. But there was. There was. You see, Gideon knew that he could not be king. Gideon knew that God was the one that delivered him, but there was something that Gideon wanted. There was something that Gideon wanted. And whilst he said, I will not rule over you, my son shall not rule over you, there was something in his heart that was going to be his downfall. And so the next verse, you come to it, says, and Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you. You see, friend, if he just stopped off with the verse 23, then everything was fine. But he didn't. And whilst he said firmly and resolutely, I will not rule over you, there was something in Gideon's heart that he wanted. And what was it? He said, listen. He said, would you give every man that the earrings of his prey? For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. You see, during the battle and because of the battle and after the battle, they had accumulated a number of valuable things, the spoils of war. In verse number 26 says, and the weight of the golden earrings that were requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And so therefore they had accumulated quite an amount of spoil. Now on the one hand, Gideon turns down the position. But on the other hand, he loves and would like the perks. On the one hand, friend, it seems to be that he's giving all the glory to God. And he says, listen, the Lord shall rule over you. The Lord's the only one that you've got your eyes upon, friend. But listen, he wanted something for himself. And when the army won the victory, they took the spoils of the prey. And what they would do, friends, they would strip the soldiers that had fallen. And in the ears of those soldiers, friend, listen, there were earrings. It was actually not only a part of their dress, it was a part of their worship. And Gideon made a request. And the request that Gideon made, friend, let me tell you, soon turned a mighty victory into a defeat. Now, whenever he made this request, the people in verse number 24, they were only too glad to oblige. It says, they said, we will willingly give them. And so they spread a garment and they cast there in every man the earrings of their prey. They were willing to follow Gideon. And they gathered all these earrings together. And in Gideon's heart, he wants to make something. Because the Bible tells us in verse number 27, and I don't believe this just happened by chance, it says, and Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it. Now what was an ephod? Let me tell you, friend, it was the apron that was worn by the high priest. Now the high priest had to be of the tribe of Levi, but Gideon was not of that tribe. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. And therefore he had no right to such a garment. It was the garment of the high priest. Now friend, there was a high priest and he was in Shiloh. But Gideon didn't want to take the high priest. In Shiloh, the ephod, the Bible tells us he wasn't interested about Shiloh. He wanted to take it to his own city. He wanted to take it to his own town. But the ark wasn't in his own town. The ark was in Shiloh. And the priest was functioning in Shiloh, but he wanted to take it home to his own place. It was worn by Israel's high priest, the descendant of Aaron. Now, if he couldn't be a king, he wanted something else. It seems as if he was wanting to be a leader, all right, but he wanted to be a spiritual leader of Israel. He was signifying that he had a nearness to God. He was desiring to make the ephod. And he therefore wanted authority. And therefore he wanted position, and he wanted respect, and he wanted the privileges of the high priest. But it was a position he could not fill. It was a position that God never had for him. He was to lead the children of Israel. He led them under God, friend. But listen, he desires something else. The fact that Israel had already an high priest did not factor into Gideon's consideration. He wanted it for himself. He rejected the earthly crown, but he wanted a spiritual position among the people, which under God wasn't his. Friends, sometimes we want things of the flesh. We want things that God doesn't want us to have. And it's amazing what people will do to get something, even though God doesn't want them to have it, friend. They desire it, and friend, let me tell you, they cast aside their calling in Christ, and they cast aside their living for the Lord, because they want something that God had not for them, but they want it for themselves. And that's what Gideon wanted. He wanted something that God didn't want for him. But he did want a position. He did want his privileges. He did want the honor. He did want the authority. He wanted the personal status. But it wasn't for the glory of God. It was for Gideon. And the ephod was worn in connection with holy things. But alas, here it wasn't. Because notice what happened. Verse 27. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in its city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house.
And what we see here is, friend, listen, we find that it turns into an idol. And what, my friend, an ephod under God was that which God had given for the high priest and a purpose for the high priest. And now it has been turned into something of idolatry.
Isn't it amazing? Just one little decision. One little decision that Gideon made, friend. And he's falling at the last fence. It makes a tragic situation develop. And Gideon compromised a stand taken against idolatry. And he led his family away and he led his people away. Because in reality they were wanting a religion, not under God anymore, but something that suited themselves. Is it not true this morning that a little decision, a little decision made in the flesh, friend, a little decision made to please me or thee, a little decision that's not of God, friend, how that it can bring heartache and heartbreak for a family, and it ends with the apostasy, because the Bible says they went a whoring after. In other words, they prostituted themselves before. What a tragedy. This mighty man, Gideon, friend, listen. And he ruins his family and he ruins his nation. Verse number 33 it says, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and they went a-whoring after Balaam. But the downgrade had started
while he was alive. And it ends. But something else. Notice what happened in Gideon's life, friend, because not only did he make this ephod, not only did he settle here in Ophrah, but the Bible tells us in verse number 30, Gideon had 70 sons of his body. Begotten. Well, you say, that's nothing. Well, Dad, it wasn't my home. 70. Could you imagine feeding all them? But friend, and it's not that point. Listen, it says because he had many wives. You see, remember Gideon said, I'm not the king. But let me tell you, friend, that was the way of the kings. He was acting out what he said he didn't want. He said, I don't want to be king, but the ancient kings of that time away there in the east, friend, listen, the kings, they had many wives, and they had their concubine, and they had their many children. And so therefore, whilst it's true that Gideon says, no, I don't want to be king, in reality, he wanted to live the life of the king. I said, it sounded good, friend, but in reality, his heart was changed. And they give the right answer to the question that was asked. But he wanted the perks of the kingship. 70 begotten of these wives. And friend, let me just show you one other wee thing. To show you that Gideon's heart was changed. Because look at verse number 31. It says, and his concubine that was in Shechem. It says, she also bare him a son. And it's interesting to notice what she called him. She called him Abimelech. Now remember what Gideon has said to the people. I will not rule over you. My son shall not rule over you. Listen, my friend, whenever that concubine bore that child, what did they call him? They called him Abimelech. What does it mean? My father is king. That's what they called him. My father is king. But you say, didn't he reject it? Didn't he say no to it? Friend, he said it in his lips, but in his heart, there was something different. And so therefore, Gideon took a concubine. Let me say this also to you. This was morally degrading, and it was evil for Gideon because she was a Canaanite. She wasn't an Israelite. She had a Canaanite. She was a Canaanite. In other words, he flirted with a Canaanite woman. And where was she from? She was from Shechem. What is the connection with Shechem, friend? It was the evil place. The daughter of Jacob had been defiled by the man from Shechem. And then he bears a son. And he calls him, my father is king. And he said no to the call. But in his heart, he lived like a king. And the Bible says the people went a-whoring. After idolatry. And verse 33. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal Berith their god. There's the relapse. What a solemn warning. Israel had led, or Gideon had led Israel away from Baal. But now after his death, Israel turns again.
how easy it is to turn man's heart. How fickle man is, friend. And what does it say in verse 34? And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. But it also says, verse 35, neither showed they kindness to the house of Gideon. They forgot them. You know, I read this morning, and we haven't time to go further than this, but I read this morning from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And I read there in chapter 20, and it says this. Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And what Paul was saying here was this, that I have one desire, and it's this, that I finish the course well. That I finish the course, my course with joy at my ministry. Now turn with me here in closing to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We looked at a man this morning that fell at the last fence and turned the hearts of the people away from God and led them into idolatry. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says this, verse 6. I am now ready to be offered or poured out as a sacrifice. In other words, he's ready to die. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished the course. He says, I've kept the faith. Friend, can I ask you this morning, what end do you want? Do you want an end like Gideon, falling at the last fence, bringing dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you want to have an end like Paul, who said, a fight has been fought. And there's a race that has been run. And he said, there's a faith that is kept. And thank God there's a crown that's received. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, and the people were gathering round him and they were breaking their hearts because he said to them, you'll see my face no more. And as they knelt down and they kissed him, he said this. He says, you know, I have one desire. That I finish my course with joy. And friend, he came to the end of the journey. And he jumped the last fence. What did he say? Henceforth for me, the crown. They wanted to make Gideon the earthly king. They wanted to give him the crown in life. And his heart was carried away. But Paul didn't take an earthly crown. He said, henceforth for me, the crown of righteousness, which not man shall give unto me, but which the Lord shall give unto me, and not only me, but all them that love his appearing. And he says, Timothy, son, you preach the word. And you see the end, friend, Gideon. He turned the hearts of his sons, he turned the hearts of his family away from the Lord at the end. For they went to whoring after Baal. But Gideon, or Saul, the mighty apostle Paul, he said to his son in the faith, he said, son, you preach the word, you keep preaching. You keep preaching in season, out of season. You reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, preacher, son, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful.
faithful to God.
Friend, is that what testament do you want to leave behind? Gideon's? Who fell at the last fence? Or the Apostle Paul, who received the crown of righteousness? I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. Is that your honest statement of faith, friend? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Thou art searching our hearts this morning. Thou knowest every one of us. And perhaps, our God, our Heavenly Father, it's so easy for us to see others and perhaps in our minds see the failure of others. And yet, our God, with the words of the hymn writer, I say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name, search out my heart this day. Help me to be faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. Lord, I pray for any this morning that are not saved. I pray that in Jesus' precious name, that thou wilt save them by thy grace, that thou wilt, Lord, snatch them as a brand from the burning, that thou wilt show them today that life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, it's like the binding of a sheaf, they need to be in time. And for those, our God, that once walked with thee and they're wandering far away, O God, I pray in Jesus' name, show them the folly of it today. Show them the tragedy to come, the end of the journey and regret. Regret a life of failure, a life of wandering, a life of straying, a life of sin. Oh God, this day help us to live Christ before the world. Help us to serve Jesus with all our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.